outside and walk out into an open field. We stand there for just a few moments and the ground begins to shake. And over a little hill pops a 300,000-pound piece of equipment. It is 16 feet tall, 25 feet wide, 38 1/4 feet long, the size of a small two-bedroom house. It is moving slowly, but it's moving on crawlers that are 18 feet long and 3 feet wide. It has 49 4-inch thick shoes. This piece of equipment is moving toward us at 8 miles an hour, powered by a 1,050 horsepower diesel engine, pulling fuel from its 555-gallon tank, staying cool from a 78-gallon water tank, and running smoothly because of 34 gallons of oil pumping throughout its engine. And it's moving toward us, and the ground is shaking. But it's not just moving, it's working as it comes, with a blade on front that is 11 feet high, 25 feet wide, and it clears out a path of 90 cubic yards of dirt and trees and rubbish as it moves toward us. What piece of equipment is it? In your mind, you've already come to clear to know that it's one out of 120,000 dozer. It's the world's largest bulldozer, a 575A2. And the dozer has a mighty moving effect wherever it goes. The ground shakes beneath it. The ground shakes beneath us. And it clears out a path of anything that's in its way when the blade is down. But I am here to tell you on this Sunday morning in the month of April, on Easter Sunday morning, that listen to me very carefully. No dozer, matters not how big, has ever had the moving effect like God did one early Sunday morning. On that day, he stepped out of the portals of heaven and he looked down to the tomb that was shut up and sealed up, and he shouted the word, Jesus, 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 and Jesus stepped out of that tomb.
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing, and this world has never, ever been the same, nor will it been the same. Thank God for resurrection morning.
Amen.
When Jesus stepped out. There is coming another moving. I don't, probably that's jumping ahead, but I will tell you this world is about to encounter something that it's never encountered before. For Jesus himself is going to step out on the portals of heaven and he's going to say, Gabriel, go ahead and sound the trumpet. And guess what? All of a sudden, all of us that know Jesus are going to disappear.
Amen.
What a moving effect. It all took place because on the third day, Jesus rose. And just like that big old bulldozer can change a piece of property by moving across it, thank God one day Jesus stepped into my life and Jesus has changed my life. And yeah, I've made some failures and mistakes along the way, but who has it? But I want to remind you, thank goodness that God, through Jesus, forgives and cleanses us. I want you to understand, on this Easter Sunday morning, let's you and I talk about the mighty moving on that morning for just a few moments. There were several things that was taking place prior to the moving of our Master from that grave. Let me help you understand. It said in verse 1, we won't look at it, but it said, when the Sabbath was passed. What kind of Sabbath had it been? Well, I want to tell you, it was a Sabbath of silence. There was a day that was the day of their worship. And to Jesus, that day was a day of silence. His ministry had come to a close. His public career had ended. Love and hate, woe and weakness had all gathered on the outside as Jesus was on the inside of the city. And on that day, Jesus, for the first time in his life, was silent. And do you realize today on this Easter Sunday morning, even though the sepulchre is empty, we still gather summed up in his house as if Jesus is still in the sepulchre. If I could take you with me and we travel miles from this place, we'd look inside of that tomb. And can I remind you, thank God that the tomb is empty. We don't have to come in here with a dry silence. We can stand up, for Jesus said, if they're not going to praise me, let the rocks cry out. Guess what? We don't want a bunch of rocks to outdo us. Thank God Jesus is alive.
Amen.
He's alive. It was a Sabbath of silence. We may think he is finished. Let me remind you, we may think today that Jesus is finished. Because of the resurrection, I am here to proclaim that in spite of the devil and the demons of hell, Jesus is not finished. He's just begun.
Amen.
He's at work.
Glory.
It's a Sabbath of silence. It was a Sabbath when it ended with sorrow. To the disciples, as they gathered, their hearts had been torn out. This was the darkest day of their lives. Many of us gather here this morning with sorrow instead of shouting. We gather here as though we're coming to a funeral and not a resurrection. But let me proclaim something. Because he lives, I can live.
Amen.
And when I die, thank God, because he arose, one of these glorious days, we'll rise again.
Amen.
We don't have to gather in sorrow. We don't have to gather in silence. We know the rest of the story. Thank God the tomb is empty. The Sabbath had ended. The Sabbath of sorrow and silence and the Sabbath of scare. The church people had screamed the loudest, "Crucify him." They gathered with scared fear in their hearts. For as they sang, they knew that a man lay dead in the garden because of thee. They were singing with fear in their hearts. Their words were plagued with the thoughts of his words as he hung suspended between heaven and earth. No man had ever scared them before like a dead man scared them. Some of us gathered this morning with fear and fright in our hearts. For even though Jesus is alive, even though Jesus is alive, we don't treat him as if he is sometimes. When the silence and the sorrow and the scary night ended, these ladies made their way to the tomb with spices. Perhaps the spices were in a liquid form so they could pour it over the body of Jesus. They were not doing so because they had been told to. They were doing so because they loved him. What we do for Jesus every day ought not be because somebody's told us we ought to do it. It ought to be because we love him. If you really love Jesus, you will serve Jesus.
Amen.
They came to serve that day, bringing those spices. Going to anoint that body. They looked for opportunities to show their love. These ladies didn't do the Baptist thing. You say, what is the Baptist thing? Sit around and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and never do anything for Jesus. They put their song into action, their words into action. Very early on that morning, as the sun just broke through, you find the mind moving taking place. Look at verse 3, chapter 16 of the book of Mark. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Who's going to do it? What are we going to do? It was not less than 6 feet in breadth and 3 feet in height. It was a pretty good sized stone, and these four old ladies were coming there not knowing what was going to take place. But when you get to verse 4, he tells us something right here. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now I think, personally, that the stone symbolizes something. And what you may think is a great big old stone in the middle of your life is just a pebble with Jesus.
Amen.
The stone of doubt. As these ladies approached that sepulcher, they began to think about that stone. And the closer they got to begin to discuss that stone, they knew that there was an obstacle in the way. Doubt filled their minds if they want to know him or not. Who? They asked themselves, who? It's going to move the stone. We can't take care of it. They knew that there'd be nobody around to help them. They knew the guards wouldn't help them. And so they absolutely were so full of doubts. And they knew that they loved Jesus. And they knew they wanted to know Jesus. But they just simply didn't know what to do. Have you ever had an obstacle in the way of you getting to Jesus? You can't see Jesus like you used to see Jesus. And it caused you to doubt what you were doing. You know something? Love will always cause us to act without thinking. And no matter how many Wheaties these ladies had eaten, they would have never been able to roll back the stone. But they didn't have to. Thank goodness God removes the stones of doubt in our lives. If you've ever doubted Jesus, stand and look at the empty sepulcher, and it will remind you that he is who he says he is. If you've ever doubted Jesus, listen to the woman at the well, and she'll tell you who Jesus really is. If you've ever doubted Jesus, ask the man who they let down in the roof who couldn't walk, and he walked again, and he'll tell you who Jesus is. If you want to ever doubt Jesus, look at the sinner saved by his wonderful grace, and he'll tell you who Jesus is. If you've ever doubted Jesus, look at the druggie who no longer needs their drugs for a high. They find what they need in Jesus. If you want to doubt Jesus, look at the widow who his bottle has been broken and taken away because he met Jesus. Can I tell you, church, there's no need to doubt when you've got a moving God who moves obstacles out of our way. It was a stone of death. Stone was a sign to all that death had come. When it had rolled over in that slot, there was a body on the inside. But when Jesus died, he said that he was dying that we might live. Will we die if the stone is removed? Will we die? Will we die? Physically we will. But spiritually we'll never die. The stone of death was rolled away. Thank God one of these days you may bury this body in some cemetery at some place. But I want you to know something. As you bury this body, I'll be more alive than I've ever been. Miss Bruce's casket. We're going to say a few words, but I'm going to tell you something. Miss Bruce is not in that casket at McDougal Funeral Home. Thank God she's already checked out. She did not experience death. Oh, yeah, her body died, but she's more alive than she's ever been. Thank goodness as they walked there, they were full of soul to pray. They were full of the stone, they didn't know what to do, of doubt and death. It was a stone of darkness. Once that stone was placed across the opening of the sepulchre, it took the light away. And on the inside of that tomb was darkness. The stone needed to be moved, not just for the light to get in, but for the light of the world to come out. God has a way of bringing light out of darkness if we'll just let God turn on the light. These ladies could not move. They didn't know what they were going to do. Stone of doubt filled their hearts. Stone of death. Stone of darkness. But it was also a stone of depression. How depressed the followers of Jesus had become. They came 3 miles very early in the morning just to find the body of Jesus. Who can move the stone? Who can move the storm? Who can move the storm? And depression had set in. Can I remind you, be very careful. Depression is the work of the devil. Because when you get depressed, you can't see how moving our Master really is. When you get depressed, you can't see that God still, if he wanted to, could turn water into wine. When you get depressed, you can't see how the Son of God can still walk on the water. Can I remind you? He is still the same Jesus, and there's no need to fear when he is near.
Amen.
As they looked up, those heads that were down, they finally looked up, and I think one of them punched the other and says, "Look, look. Don't you think it's about time to punch the neighbor beside us and say, why don't you look the obstacles out of the way?" For the storm was rolled away. God shook the earth and the angel to a cease, and they moved the star. Our Master is still a mighty mover even today. Look at verse 5. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. You say, why were they afraid? You tell me that you walk into an empty tomb, and you walk in there, and there's an angel there. It wouldn't scare you just a little bit. You've never seen a fat person move so fast as you might see me move with an angel sitting inside of that tomb. The moving of the storm. Look at verse 6. And he saith unto them, don't be afraid, settle down, calm your nerves. It's okay. Everything's good. I know what you're doing. You're seeking this Jesus of Nazareth, fellow. That's who you're looking for, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not. Come on. Stop, pay attention. Look at the place where he once lay. He is no longer here. We celebrate Easter because Jesus is risen and he's not back.
Amen.
We celebrate Easter because this same Jesus who walked out of that grave that day can transform our lives by his touch. Aren't you glad that Jesus is alive?
Amen.
Stand with me this morning. Some folks say they had to move the stone to let him out. They didn't have to move the stone to let him out. He could have came through the stone if he decided to do so. They moved the stone so we could go in.
That's right.
May you discover today that Easter is not just about the Easter bunny and hiding eggs. And I thank God for the great turnout we had yesterday on the Easter hunt. Thank goodness for all of you that helped put it together. But it's a little bit more than the Easter bunny. It's about the very fact that the greatest movement has ever taken place when Jesus came out of that grave. Your life will never be the same if you'll meet this Jesus.
Amen.
Bow with me. Father, today we thank you for the hope, the help, the happiness, and the heaven that's waiting us because the tomb is empty. Now in this room today, including this pastor, maybe we need to have a renewal of our trust in you. May we understand that doubt and death and depression shouldn't get a hold on us because you're alive. Whatever we go through in this life, you do not expect us to go alone, but you go with us. So today, I pray that you've spoken to somebody with this large crowd through what we've said and done. I pray most of all right now that you'll move here among us. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and begin to play for us just a moment. As our choir sings this morning, maybe you need to come. Would you come? Whatever you're looking for, Jesus, he's the answer. Come on right now. Some are coming. What about you right now? Our balcony on our floor.